think you need to reach this goal.
Did you guys get joined at the hip?
Yes. We're in the same conference room.
Welcome, Brandy. This is Sasha.
Hi. Well, then could you hear me or no?
Yes, we can. We're just waiting for one other person to join, and then we'll get started. Welcome, Olga.
Hello, everyone.
Hi.
Hello, virtually. So as we talked about last week, we'll get into all of our discussions, all of our details, all of our logistics, but I always like to start by grounding the group. So is there anyone this morning that would like to volunteer to get us grounded? Great. Thank you, Jess.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Good
morning.
So wherever you're sitting, uncross your ankles and your knees and have all four corners of the feet, the entire breadth and width of the soles of the feet on the floor, making contact with the earth. Press your heels into the earth and sit up tall, drawing your belly in. And bring your awareness to your breath. Just noticing the qualities of the breath, the temperature of the air as it enters and leaves your nostrils, tapping into the physical body, feeling the heaviness of the bones of the thighs, the heaviness of the weight of the heel, and imagining that that heaviness could travel all the way down into the center of the earth. With every inhale, imagine the breath traveling all the way down to the hips. And with every exhale, imagine the breath traveling all the way down the legs, down the feet, and down into the earth. Imagine that the roots of your feet are growing down through the layers of the earth. Let them take their journey through the soil, rich and dark, through the layers of rock and limestone and shale, through the aquifers and the crystal beds, deepening your connection to the ground, bringing you into the present moment, and also nourishing you through these connections down through every layer of the earth. Keep breathing into the hips on your inhale and exhaling out through the legs, through the feet, all the way down to the center. And then bring your awareness back to your torso, back to your heart, connecting that sense of groundedness and rootedness with an open mind and an open, steady heart. Feel your side ribs expand and your chest lift with every inhale. Draw your shoulders away from your ears and let your shoulder blades drop down your back. And then begin to open your eyes and return to the surroundings around you, the colors and the images. Opening yourself up to all that will unfold in the next 90 minutes.
Sick. Wow, you're hired. That's awesome. Thank you so much, Jess.
Good morning.
So Before we start, welcome everyone. Good morning. I wanted to introduce Brandy, who's joining us for the rest of the sessions. And Brandy, last week we had a chance to go around and briefly tell everyone a little bit about us, just in terms of where we live, how long we've been teaching, if we are teaching, which I know that you are, and also your intention for this program. So would you be willing to share that with our group?
Okay, and now I'm muted. Sorry.
Okay, good. Okay, I know I was going to go through it too.
Yeah, okay, I just got it. Hi, everyone. I'm Brandy. I'm talking from Montreal, Canada. And I've been a yoga teacher since 1997. I've been practicing a long time. And I teach a lot of private students. Actually, just in the past 2 years, I went more from group classes to privates. I still teach groups, but I felt working one-on-one with people that there was a tool that I was maybe missing to help them reach their goals just as a yoga teacher. So I thought that coaching would be a great tool to add to the technique of yoga therapy. And that's why I'm here. A little bit more about myself. I have 3 kids, and I have, and I'm involved also in a meditation course with, maybe some of you guys know, Paul Moeller Otego. So I'm in advanced studies in his meditation program. And that's about it. Excited to be here. It's 12 o'clock here in Montreal, around 12 o'clock.
All right. Well, we're excited to have you join the group. Did you have a chance to listen to last week's call? Because that will, okay, well, when you do, you'll get to learn about the other people on the call. I'm not going to take up our time going through the group again. So when you have a chance to do that, you'll learn. But we have Francis, Nicole, Jess, and Olga. Obviously, I'm Sasha. So, yeah, when you have a chance to do that. Did everyone receive the email with the link to the class page?
Yes.
Okay, great. And I'll also be adding Brandy to the buddy group, so I'll resend that out. She'll just be added to one of the twosomes, the dyads. And I'll also, now that Brandy's in the mix, we'll redo the coach-to-coach schedule, and I'll send it out by Friday of this week. So starting next week, you guys are going live to be coaching, which is really, really exciting. Yes, it is. I can feel your excitement. energetically through the lines. So as we talked about last week, the format, this week, in terms of our check-in, I would like to go around the group, and I love when we have these intimate groups because it gives more one-on-one attention and more time for people to share and interact. If you guys would share one win, so just something that happened in your week that was like an aha or something that felt great, something that was powerful, having to do with this program or not. And then the second piece is to share which one of the action challenges you took on page 2 of the yoga supplement and what that was like for you. So that being said, who would like to jump in?
This is Olga. I'll jump in.
Thank you, Olga, for jumping in.
It's been a while since I've sat down and worked on goals, and I actually needed to work on goals. I'm part of a business network international group, you know, from my insurance business, and I just joined in December. I had not been part of that networking organization for like about 3 or 4 years. So I decided to come back to help my business grow. And so we also needed to talk about, you know, our goal for the team. So it just, and it was today. So, you know, so what I decided to do was like work on a spiritual goal, physical goal and as well as a business goal. And just to sit down and work on them, you know, with the SMART process was very enlightening. So I've written them out, and I did share my goal this morning, and, you know, it feels great to be able to go back to this, and then to have a group to share it with is even more awesome. And with regard to the lesson one on the introductory supplement, what came up for me was just a sense of self-discovery. You know, I'm a sub-teacher. I don't have regular classes, but I do sub anywhere between 6 to 10 classes a month. And I've seen the way I teach, or what feedback I get from the students, is leaving this space to grow. You know, it's like, you know, oh, I feel this here, I feel this here, and then, you know, it's okay, just get into the breath, and, you know, if it's uncomfortable, you know, what do you feel after you breathe, you know, in that area, or how do you feel after really taking a full deep breath, you know, and exhaling completely, for example, and not giving them an outcome and just allowing them to feel, you know, their sensation, you know, in their body, their feeling, you know, and their connection to body, mind, and spirit through yoga. So that's basically what came up for me as far as the action challenge.
That's great. Thanks for sharing, Olga. It's pretty synchronistic on the timing of your goals for your work, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There are no coincidences. So great. Thank you so much for sharing. And just going forward, we'll just keep it to about 2 minutes or
okay.
less. That's great. And who would like to go next?
I'll go. This is Frances.
Hi, Frances.
Hi. So my win this week, last week I'd shared about the home climbing wall, and my win is that we actually built it, so we're just waiting for
Woo-hoo!
The climbing pole.
Yeah!
So we're just waiting for the holds to come in the mail, and they should be coming by the end of this week sometime, and then we'll just have our wall to play on, which is really exciting. So that was really fun, a challenge in and of itself, but really fun. And then the action challenges, what showed up for me, what it made me think about was I've noticed that when I'm teaching lately, the way I've been ending my classes is just giving the students more responsibility for their practice so that it's not all on the instructor, but really allowing them to take ownership of their practice and what they've created in their space. And it just... even though the instructor, when I'm in there, you're a guide for your class, their experience is separate from you. So I'm not attached to what their experience or outcome is. I'm merely there as a guide to lead them through. And then, you know, each of us as students, we're just responsible for what we've created in that hour. And it's all individualized. Yeah, and I think there's a sense of ownership in your practice in that way. And you're not just looking to the teacher to inspire you or find all of your growth from, in that sense.
That's great, Frances. It's sort of empowering your students. I love how
mm-hmm.
you said that, to take ownership. And I've been in many of your classes, and I totally agree that that's how I feel when I leave one of your classes. So... I'm glad you're bringing some more consciousness and awareness around that. And I just have to say to Brandy, we had a little demo, a coach the coach last week, and I coached Frances around this climbing wall. So beautiful thing that it manifested as I sit here on my couch in Boulder watching it snow, thinking that, wow, Frances is going to be inside using her climbing wall. This is great.
Yay.
So anyway, congratulations.
Thank you.
All right, who would like to go next?
I'll go. This is Jess.
Thanks, Jess.
Hi, everyone. My win for the week was on Wednesday at my Wednesday morning class. I taught the concepts from the first chapter of the book that I'm working on. And so that was really exciting to lead them through the sequence, the guided meditation, the applicable sutras, and kind of test it. It's the first time that I've actually done that. And so I'm doing one chakra, one chapter basically each week, but last Wednesday was the first one, so that felt really empowering. Yeah.
Wow.
And then my challenge has been internally taking care of myself, and I've gotten really good about giving myself massages or letting myself take vacations or doing external things to make myself feel nurtured. But what I'm not good at is preventing myself from getting into the point where I actually need that high level of intervention nurturing. So I'm really working on being more sensitive internally to take care of myself by setting boundaries and being more authentic with myself so that I rely less and less on those outside tools.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. For clarity on, can you pick one of the three bullet points that you worked on, if you did, from the yoga supplement to take that action challenge, or did that apply to one of those?
Actually, yeah. It did apply to it. I wasn't sure with the action challenge. I wrote about it. I wrote about the yoga environment.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I wrote about it from the experience of myself as a student. So maybe I didn't understand the exercise. Maybe I didn't understand the exercise. Because it said, like, what do you appreciate about the instructor?
No, you can totally share that place. You can totally come from the place of a student.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, great. So what I found is that two of my favorite teachers, one of them is very good about clear instruction and setting boundaries and being unapologetic and just really holding the container, and the other one is really expansive and spiritual and wise, but both of them really ask the students to listen to themselves and to explore, and they both set the expectation that you will be transformed. Like, they don't say, well, maybe, they just say, no, this is a transformational experience, and we're here to learn and grow. So I love that.
So really being straightforward, and again, maybe a little bit piggybacking on what Frances said about taking ownership and empowering the students to take responsibility. So that's always a great tool to have. Okay. Thanks, Jess.
Yeah.
Nicole, since you're right there, do you want to go next?
Sure. One win. I actually had a great week, so I feel like I could share a lot, but let's pick one. I started my assisting a teacher training this weekend. It's my first assist, and that's on the path of being a trainer at YogaWorks for teacher trainings, and that's been on my list for quite a while, and so it felt really awesome. It was just a big win for me professionally. And I felt a difference in my own strength because of flipping to the other side from student to teacher in that way. So it was really powerful. In terms of the action challenges, it was interesting because then I could think of it in different ways. I mean, I do teach, but even as a trainer, I was like, God, what does it mean to do this work? You know, it's such a powerful process. And so I underlined a few things that came up for me. I just felt like we have a big responsibility as teachers to be guides, but we really want to offer a self-directed practice that is about ahimsa. And it's so much about offering pathways for people, but allowing them to find their own inner strength and their own inner wisdom in the process. So not telling them what to do, but guiding them in an effective way. And this is where I guess coaching comes in handy, right, a lot, is getting them to the point where they're actually answering their own questions, they're finding their own guidance, but they're in an environment that's really safe and effective for them. So listening came up a lot, too. It's like it's such a huge listening forum. So,
Wow. First of all, congratulations. And Jess, I wanted to congratulate you, too, for bringing a piece of your book to your class for the first time. I'm sorry I forgot to mention that. But there's this running theme I'm hearing this morning around empowering others. And so the correlation that you're already beginning to make is that, yes, we empower our clients the same way we empower our students. So holding them as creative, resourceful, and whole, and being a collaborator with them on their path towards attaining what they want, whether it's on their mat or off. So I really love that you bridge those two together for us, Nicole, very, very insightfully. Thank you. Brandy, would you like to share anything?
Sure. I mean, I'm not on board exactly with the material. Like, can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
That's okay. And I totally get that. So it's up to you. I didn't know how much Brandy just came on board like 2 days ago. So I just didn't know. I wanted to give you an opportunity to speak if there's something that you wanted to share, but by no means do you need to feel obligated.
No, I'm happy to share. I think my win, as I understand, professionally was I put out a newsletter and I linked it for the first time to my Facebook, which was like a big thing for me. And it was really quite interesting because I sent this newsletter out and I posted it via Facebook. And then within the hour, I got two new private clients. And then within this past 2 days, my schedule has gone so full that I now don't have one free spot on my schedule. So it's an amazing win. It's phenomenal. But now I'm a little bit nervous because I think I can't wait too much, too many classes. And so it's just, you know, it's finding that balance even in our own selves. You know, it's like I feel really grateful that my work's going great, but I just have to figure out how I could manage time-wise all these, everything I have to take care of. Yeah.
Well, congratulations. We need to be careful what we ask for because the universe will deliver. So congratulations on that. And if that's something that you're really passionate about, you know, you can make adjustments, you know, with the tools that you'll be learning as well here to figure that out. So thank you and welcome. Again. Okay, before we dive into the material, I would like to ask someone to volunteer to be my client for our top of the hour Coach the Coach demo.
I'll do it. I'm unmuted, so if that's okay, Brandy.
Okay, thanks. Since I don't know your name yet, I mean your voice yet, I know your name. Just identify yourself before you speak so I'll get really clear. Okay, that's great. And we'll be doing that at the top of the hour. And come and be thinking about something live that's actually going on in your life, a live agenda. Okay. All right. Ladies, let's turn to page 101 and 102 briefly. Back to our SMART goals. It was part of the homework and I'm not going to spend too much time on this. But a part of our homework for next week is going to be to be accountable for the SMART goals with your buddy. So I just wanted to check in to make sure that I answered and was clear on any questions that anyone may have and just give you some facts around SMART goals.
Could you repeat the page? Sorry.
Sure, page 101 and 102.
I don't have that.
In your workbook?
Yeah. Because it's not it wasn't printed. Okay.
And who's speaking?
It's Brandy.
Okay, and you have the electronic version, right?
Yeah. I have this.
Okay, I'm wondering if the electronic version page numbers are the same. I don't know because I don't have that version, but it's the SMART goals. I don't know if it's in the
I'm gonna look it up.
Okay, great. And in the interim, Does anybody have any questions around what this looks like? Great. And the tool for learning for this is to use it not only to create your own pathway towards the goals that you want personally, but also to understand this methodology to be able to use when you coach your clients. And it's really a brilliant, brilliant model, and it works really well. And some things that studies have indicated is that only 10 to 15% of people have clear goals, which isn't that many. And I find that it constructs a map and it measures progress for your clients. So it's just a great structure to have, and it also engineers effectiveness. So staying true to your goals, looking at them on a regular basis, continuing to work with them, be accountable for them with your buddy, these are going to continue to move those goals forward. And I just wanted to sort of say a few things about that, because I know we did talk about that last week. So is there anyone that's not clear on the SMART goals?
I'm not clear because I don't have it, but.
Okay, we'll get you that.
Okay.
I will get you that. So I'll check in with Bernadette. Okay, so the second, go ahead. Was someone going to say something? Okay.
This is Nicole. I have a quick question. I'm putting in my notes present tense. Is that something that I picked up along the path? Do you ever hear that? It has to be written in present tense?
Like I am?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
We do that, and you'll learn more as you go and teach your training. That's a way that we, that's a tool that we use too. I am as if it is happening now, putting in the positive present tense.
Okay. Thank you. Because I heard that somewhere, and I didn't see it in here, so I just want to make sure.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. Okay, I'd like to move on into balancing doing versus being. Can anyone share their definition of what the difference is, doing versus being?
Hi, this is Nicole. I'm going to say being is a state of listening, and doing is a state of action. And the difference is maybe that being allows you to only act when it's coming from a place that feels right,
mm-hmm.
or feels aligned. And doing, to me, sometimes feels like I'm running, like I'm almost behind the eight ball. So to me, they're quite different. One is action-oriented, and one is listening and then acting based on alignment.
Right. That's great. And I'm going to add on to that. In this context that we're learning, doing is almost like we're speaking about the collaborative relationship between coach and client. Doing is almost trying to fixing your client. And being is exactly what you said. It's more centered, more grounded. Just think about how you feel when you get centered and grounded, just like Jess did beautifully with her meditation grounding at the beginning of our discussion. And in that place, it gives us access to all of our states of mind. So it's from that place of being, it's easy to make an empathic statement. So an empathic statement example could be, I hear how exciting that's been for you. So you're able to be in tune with the thoughts and feelings of others. Have you guys worked with the word empathy before and empathic? Has it shown up in on the mat or off for you? Anybody's experience?
Sorry, it's Brandy. I feel definitely empathic towards Mike's clients. Sometimes I have a hard time when I bring it into relating to my experience, and I don't know if that's wrong. You know, like having a, you know, similar experience, so the sense of empathy is also identifying with it, and I sometimes wonder about that.
So what's coming up for you in terms of the quote-unquote wrong? Because nothing is wrong here, but say more about that.
You know, just sometimes, for example, yesterday a student came to my class who I haven't seen in years, and she put on a lot of weight. She was having a really hard time breathing, and when I was saying goodbye to her, I really felt, you know, that she was not in a good place. And so I did feel, you know, empathetic. I felt bad that she's not in a good place, and I was excited to welcome her back to class. But at the same time, I sort of felt when I was saying goodbye, she was not going to come back. And so just the stirring of emotion within me of the empathy, of just, you know, feeling sad for her.
Yeah.
And also and feeling a little bit helpless because I was like, I can't really help her in that way. You know, if she's not going to come back in, I can't help her.
Yeah, that's a great question, Brandy. It's my experience that when we come from a place of empathy and we're connected to our heart center and we talk in transparency and truth, only good can come from that. We certainly can't control others' decisions and choices, but we can certainly hold the space for them to feel safe, to be able to explore more if they want to. But in that situation, I think feeling your feelings and just deciding what was the best choice in that moment is the best that you can possibly do. Thanks for sharing. Go ahead.
So I was just going to say, this is Jess. I just wanted to add something or expand upon this. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
I wanted to share how it really resonated with me in the reading about how empathy is not losing yourself in someone else's emotions or process, and it's not choosing only to see one aspect of them. That really hit home. And it reminded me of this tool that I read about in a book that I've been using, which is more just about seeing someone. So you're taking care of yourself, you're being with yourself, but you're being with the other person at the same time, and it's more that you're just seeing them. So it's like, I see you, I see your suffering, and your suffering matters. It doesn't mean that you have to fix their suffering, you don't have to get involved in their suffering, you don't have to feel the same emotion that they feel, but you just see it because you can just see it. You can energetically tap into it, and you make it okay for that sensation or experience to exist.
That's great. Thank you for adding that. And that is in the reading on page 60. There's a little space about a little definition around empathy. So thank you for sharing that, Jess. And again, it's that just spoke to the doing versus the being, you know, being empathic rather than trying to fix them. So from here, from this place of being, the client can go with you to a new place. And like you just said, they feel heard and they feel understood and they're able to join you on common ground. So the place that you want to start off with your client is in a place of neutrality. Right, not hijacking their agenda. And we'll get more into that as we go along. But remembering, as we spoke about last week, that what distinguishes coaching from therapy and consulting, any other forms of relationships, is it is a complete collaborative effort where the client's agenda drives the entire relationship. It's not about what the coach wants. It's not about what the coach thinks is best for the client, but it's collaborative, helping the client get to where they want to go using all the things that we're going to be learning. So, yeah, any other questions or shares on the doing versus being? Maybe, and I'm always tying this back into yoga, because we're all yoga teachers and we're all practitioners. Any experience with this, either on or off the mat, with a client or a student? Okay. So let's turn to page 52. Brandy, do you have that page?
Yes.
Oh, yay. All right. Olga, would you read that last paragraph, please? Because this is a parallel directly to yoga, starting on focusing on the doing.
Okay. The pessimist, just the bullet points or the whole page?
No, just the paragraph focusing on. Page 52?
Oh, 52. I was looking at sorry about that. Okay. Struggling to prove or sell your expertise, to building a reputation for listening, trying to manipulate clients.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. Go down to where the paragraph starts, forget below the bullet points.
Okay. Focusing on the doing of coaching, on building your coaching expertise, can result in performance anxiety, perfectionism, and doubt about effectiveness with trying to prove yourself. Shift to the being allows both you and the client to enjoy the journey, and the client to move forward with a feeling of effectiveness and mastery towards specific goals. When you are comfortable and authentic, your clients will sense this and be more likely to establish their own strong grounding. This will be your client's basis for positive change and growth.
Great. Thank you. Olga, do you have an experience that you might share with this happening as a yoga teacher with any of your clients, students?
Well, yeah, about 2 weeks ago, as a matter of fact, I was studying for a class, and I forgot what pose it was. I think probably like lizard pose. And, you know, it's just, I think I said, you know, try to not just do the pose, but be one with the pose, you know, and breathe, mm-hmm. you know, into the hips. And so, you know, I finished my class, and then at the end of class, one gentleman who was, had just taken class for the second time in his life, and he says, I'm a psychoanalyst, and so I wanted to know what you meant by that. So, you know, and I started to say it's about, you know, being mindful or being aware of what's going on in your body and not just doing a pose because I'm telling you to do the pose, but you feeling it in your body, you know, and breathing into that area to see if you can create space from within. And I guess he was probably just psychoanalyzing it. So he asked me a number of questions, and then I think he finally got it. he was, you know, I just kept on almost basically repeating, you know, the same kind of words, you know, of just being mindful, you know, bringing awareness, being conscious. And then, you know, I think that he started to understand. He did come back and he did join, you know, the studio. So that's the experience I've had.
That's great. Congratulations. And, you know, eventually everyone gets it, right? It might be a week, it might be a month, it might be 10 years.
Right.
But eventually we get it. That's a great example. Okay. And just, you know, like I said, it's an adult learning environment here, so do the reading, and we can't get through every page in this manual, and we'll be jumping around back and forth, but just go through those bullet points. And before we move on to the next piece, are there any questions or needing clarification around how the balance of doing versus being will help facilitate the coach-client relationship?
I'm sorry, can you repeat the question again? This is Olga.
Hi, Olga. Are there any questions around the doing versus being and how it applies to coaching?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, great. If we could turn to page 57, I just want to briefly touch on this, and it's a bigger piece than we have time for, and I think as teachers, I know from my experience, intuition is a huge piece of yoga, and it's a huge piece in coaching as well, and they merge beautifully. So is there anyone on the call that would like to share an experience that they've had on the mat with using their intuition and what that experience was like?
Hi, it's Nicole.
Hi, Nicole.
It's actually on a table, not on the mat, if I might share a Reiki experience that I just had recently.
Sure, of course.
So with Reiki, I mean, you're tapping into your intuition very much because you're silent too, so it's even deeper, I think, process. But recently I had a client on the table, and she kind of, her breathing got really, really erratic, and I just, for a moment, I could feel myself going into a little bit of, like, fear, like, what is this that's happening to her? And she had, like, her lips started turning colors, and her hands started getting contracted, mm-hmm. and she started going into a really deep contraction. And I just closed my eyes, and I put all my attention on my heart, and I just started to tap into my own feelings. Like, okay, I'm feeling a little bit of fear. She's obviously feeling fear. And what can I do to resolve this? And I went straight to her feet, and I went in, and I just grounded her. Like, I got really present with her feelings. And then the minute I started grounding her, and she started getting grounded, I had this really strong gut feeling that she had been physically abused. And so I went into that, and then I vocalized it, which I don't often talk in Reiki, but sometimes when something that strong comes forth, I listen to it now. Like, I really trust that Spirit's guiding me. And I said that out loud. I said, I have an idea, and I'm going to say it out loud, and just know that you're in a really safe environment. And when I said that, what I thought was coming up for her, she just, like, you know, lost on the table, started crying, and that was what had happened to her. And so what it did for me was really just it connected me to that space where I really trusted my gut and didn't allow myself to say, well, you know, I shouldn't say anything or let my own fears get in the way of the heaviness of the opportunity. And I just...
Nicole, I'm sorry to interrupt for a moment. There's a little bit of background noise, so if you do have that, if you could press *6, that would be great.
Thank you.
Sorry, Nicole. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. But I was just saying, so when my own fears came up, instead of ignoring what was coming up even for me, my own hunches, and not wanting to maybe deal with it because it was heavy material, I allowed it to go through me, allowed it to pass through me, and I trusted it. And it was exactly what she needed. And then, you know, she was able to release all of that energy and all of that emotion, and it was really powerful. So, I felt very much in tune with her. So.
Yes, and what beautiful work to be able to share. How do you feel something similar would manifest in your relationship with mentor coaching?
Well, I could imagine that emotions do arise for people, especially when they're in that environment, and allowing to, I think, find the balance between empathy and not sympathy, but empathy, intuition, and just trusting that as it arises, you can kind of move with the energy with the person and not kind of back out of it or try to stop it, right? It's like just let it move through them. And also trusting your instincts, like, it really gave me a sense of, like, wow, you know, we are guided, if we really drop into our hearts and we really listen, when those things come up, you want to trust that that's the right information that's coming up.
Mm-hmm. And would you think that having an intuition, an aha moment, is okay to share with your client?
I think so, yeah. I think so.
Yeah. It absolutely is, and we'll get more into that as we go along, but that is part of being a coach, is using those tools and principles and your own wisdom and experience to bring more clarity and some suggestions to your client without, again, hijacking their agenda.
Yeah.
Great. Uh-huh. Thanks for sharing. If you haven't already read, just please read up on intuition. Okay, we are going to shift to page 49. And we're going to talk a little bit about the process in mentor coaching. So in my experience, again, in my learning, the process for me is to be open to the outcome. And we're not trying to ghostwrite the client's story. We're just trying to create a point of reference as being the client's agenda. So we're here as an architect to help them develop their story, how they think, how they feel, how they organize, how they experience. This allows true collaboration and co-creation. So you want to develop a working alliance with your client through this process to be open to the outcome. I see that so many times in the yoga studio. But maybe let's hear from someone else how the experience of being open to the outcome has served you or a student in the yoga room. And then how you can relate it to mentor coaching. So have you ever been in a class where you are, or private, where you are in a process of guiding your student towards maybe a peak pose? This process of opening up certain parts of the body so that you can be ready for the peak posture. That's kind of where I'm going to this. And then also not being attached to what that peak posture looks like. So being open to the process of even getting there. Like each warm-up pose is a process towards getting to the peak pose. Anyone?
It's Brandy.
Great.
Yeah, I have a vision of a student that I work with who we were working towards going in an inversion. And she was really doubting her own strength. And it was what evolved was that a lot of fear, like for a lot of people, going upside down was really fearful for her. And then with a very open relationship and bond forming between me and my student, you know, she expressed her fears of swimming. I don't know how that came up, but she was fearful of water. And it was like almost like that was getting at her when she was going into this inversion, like this great fear of the water since she's a little child. And what evolved is that, you know, we did manage to do a very gentle 1 second type of immersion. And it was just like a real breakthrough experience, actually, that trust in herself and the trust in me that evolved out of working towards the possibility of meeting, you know, this great fear. And, you know, really having that experience of accomplishing it. So it was a very open experience and led to a deep, much deeper fear than just going upside down.
Hmm. That's so fascinating. But you brought up a great word, trust. Building that trust is huge, not only with your students on the mat, but with your clients off the mat. And, you know, when you get centered and you come from that place of empathy, it creates a model for them to behave differently. Like Jess was saying, or Nicole, I'm sorry, I forgot who said it, but holding a very safe and sacred container for them to show up, to potentially shift their state of mind. And when you're in this process, this is the essence of where these shifts occur. It offers the greatest potential for change is in the process. And so I really, really value the trust piece, because that's where, and just think of how all of us show up on our mats or to our coaches if we are being coached, and how we show up when we feel connected and trusting versus when we're skeptical or unsure, right? It's a whole different energy around that. So as you begin to go through this mentor coaching process, again, learning all these tools to be able to be in a collaborative and co-creative alliance with your client. Okay. And just another thing on the empathy piece, it's like when you respond empathically, you're not perceived as a threat. You're then viewed as a collaborator. And so I feel like this has an impact not only on the inside but the outside. So that process of being open to the outcome, bringing in the empathy piece, and we'll talk about the third piece in a minute. What questions or comments do you have about the process that we're just starting to step into?
It's Brandy, and I guess my question would be, it would be interesting for me to hear, you know, an empathetic response. You know, sometimes, like I said earlier, that just being really clear on how to deliver an empathetic response and not...
Mm-hmm.
And just be present for them, you know, just to receive it, to be really clear and present, to make sure that, you know, we are being empathetic.
Right. I hear you, and I hear how important that is for you, and those are the words that I start off with. I hear how, and I fill in the blank that's been for you, how challenging, how frustrating, how whatever the word that you want to put in there. The verb that's in there, exciting, if that's appropriate. I hear how that's been for you.
Mm-hmm.
How does that feel?
Yeah.
So you're being very present-minded, very empathetic, empathic. I mean, it's just a way for you to acknowledge without trying to fix.
That's helpful.
And it can be just as simple as that one sentence. Anyone else have any shares around this piece of the process? And we're just touching on all these pieces. We're going to go into more depth as we go through the program. but I always like to check in and give people an opportunity to share what's on their mind or have any questions.
This is Jess. I would like to share how, in some ways, this material about being versus doing and not solving a problem feels really intuitive based on the yoga and based on the other healing work that I've done. And in other ways, it is also challenging because I'm thinking about a lot of times my mentality is, you know, fixing a problem or feeling like I got to get something off my to-do list. And my background is in engineering and business, which is very much problem-solving oriented. And when I first came to yoga, I synthesized it by saying, well, I was problem-solving, but now in a different way, you know, with people and with bodies. And now that's evolving to say, well, we're actually already perfect and I'm not solving anything, you know, and it's opening me up to this idea almost like a cloud of possibilities or like a, you know, kind of like those snow globes or something you're just like standing in the middle of and there's all these different things that you can reach for. But I guess I'm just sharing that I know I can see that this will be a challenge for me in some ways as we move forward, and I just ask for everyone's support with that.
Absolutely. And I don't expect this to happen overnight. We all have different modalities of learning, and with your business and engineering background, you are very analytical, right? And is that correct?
I can be. I think I'm actually more intuitive, but I don't know. I guess I kind of toggle between both. Nicole's telling me I'm both because she works with me really closely.
She's an amazing woman. She's got everything. She's really both. I mean, that's what I think makes her a great manager, is that she has the analytical side, but she has that very human, intuitive quality that I think yoga's brought out. And coaching will bring out, you know.
Absolutely. And this isn't meant to be an either or. It's that balance. It's that balance. Can you come from a place of being grounded and centered, being fully present, listening to your clients, and then also from that space be able to, you want to move forward, you've got to get things done, but not from a place of fixing. So we'll learn more about those tools and how to integrate them and in a way that serves you, because you're right, we all learn and process and engage differently depending on our personality types. So thank you for bringing that up.
I have a question. This is Nicole. Based on when I hear the term fixing and when I hear the term solutions, would you put them in the same category, or is fixing meaning, like, to me, solutions might be multiple possibilities, but you're still trying to find solutions, right? But fixing, I don't know, like, fixing is the path to solutions or not the path to solutions? Fixing is just not a good word. Do you know what I mean? It's like, we're fixing or we're finding solutions, right?
Right. Thanks for saying that, because I don't think I can. But the fixing's not a good word. I'm not a fan of the word because when you use the word fix, it's exemplifying that the person is not already whole, that there's something inherently wrong, that something needs to be fixed. But when you come from looking through the lens of possibility thinking, and solutions, it just puts a different energetic spin on it, that they already have the tools they need, but we're just there to work with them to make these stronger, more ingrained, more able, better able to help them move out of the stuck place that they are and with you towards where they want to be.
Yeah, thank you. That's
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. You're welcome. So in honor of our time, I just want to go through one more thing, and then we'll get started with our Coach the Coach demo. Developing the coaching conversation, did everyone receive the Powerful Questions document? Okay. I got to learn to say, I got to get better at saying, did anyone not receive? So I want you to, if you haven't already had a chance to look that over, that is a highly distinguishing feature between coaching and anything else, is that you use this language to elicit responses from the client. So you're not asking, you're asking open-ended questions. So it creates this dialogue. It creates the conversation. It creates brainstorming. So if you haven't had a chance to look over the Powerful Questions document, it's really the baseline of how this collaborative relationship works. And what you'll find is that you'll be using Powerful Questions not only in your yoga classes, but you'll be using it in your relationships. And the whole context and the whole dynamics and the whole energy of a conversation and a dialogue shifts when you engage in this way. So that's really the beginnings of developing the coaching conversation, is through Powerful Questions and also through what we just touched briefly upon last week and Nicole shared, is the listening piece. Listening is huge. We have two ears and one mouth for a reason. So. Okay, well, if you have any questions on that piece, just jot them down, and you can either email them to me or bring them up next time. But at this point, I would like to go into our Coach the Coach demo. So everyone besides Brandy will hit *6 on their phone, or if you're on your computer, hit the little microphone. And we're going to have a coaching session for 15 minutes. Then we'll bring everyone back on, and we will give immediate feedback. Everyone will have a chance to participate in that. Okay, so if you guys would mute. And then, Brandy, are you there?
Yes.
Great. Thank you so much for volunteering. And I really welcome you to what is your first call on this journey. So I just want to check in and see what's up for you and how I can best support you in these next 15 minutes.
Trying to think of how I could use best support at the moment.
What's on your mind, most pressing? What's coming to your mind without analyzing through it too much?
Yeah, so I guess one thing on my mind is just managing my time. And I've recently moved my youngest son, who's 8, into a new school, and that has added a huge responsibility of carpooling alone. So that's 10 carpools, and he finishes school every day at 3. And it just added a load on me, as opposed to having to do one carpool and coming home around 4:30. So just making this adjustment to having him at home and taking away quite a few hours that I was working and having time to organize everything that I need to. So that's maybe time management.
Okay. So I want to, if it's okay with you, break that down a little bit. It sounds to me, before we move on, I just want to clarify that you want to try to find some tools to use now that your son is in a different school and it's changed your routine, so to speak, finding ways that you can continue to get the things done knowing that your son is now home with you. Is that clear? Okay, great. So tell me about what happens when you go and pick him up and bring him home. What happens at that point? Is he doing something by himself, or are you guys doing stuff together?
It seems when he comes home that then I move into, you know, not working on my business and moving just into, like, responsibilities of the home. So whether it's doing homework or preparing dinner, I just move into that mode. So it's taking me away from business hours. And you know, so I'm just, you know, figuring that out because I have a lot of work on, you know, a lot of business work. And then just, I guess, finding that balance of doing both.
Okay, so about how much time feel like you're giving up in terms of work hours in that afternoon slot with your son now being home?
I would say close to 8.
8 hours of work?
Maybe, yeah.
That you're giving up?
Between 5 to 8 hours of maybe, yeah, time, you know, work, reflection, practice. I mean, to me, you know, on the mat, off the mat, it's the same. You know, just continuing to, you know, organize either business or prepping classes or prepping study material that I need to do. So, yeah, let's say 5 to 8 hours.
So I'm clear, Brandy, by the time your son comes home at whatever time, 3 or 3:30, from that time, 5 to 8 hours going forward, like through the evening and at night, you're having to back away from work to be with your son?
Well, during the week. Right. So I'm saying
during the week.
In total, yeah, not during one day. I'm just saying.
Okay, I meant one day.
During the week, I lost 8 hours of work time because of the change.
Could you break it down into a one day? It'd be like an hour, hour and a half a day?
Sorry, I didn't understand.
Could you break it down into one day? Instead of the whole week?
Oh, sure. So
that'd be great.
Right. In one day, I would say now, right, about an hour and a half.
Okay. Great.
The 2 hours.
I'm curious, when your son comes home from school and you shift from work mode to mommy mode, is there something what's your son's name?
Evan.
Evan. Is there anything that Evan could be occupied with on his own that would allow you some time to continue to work?
Yes.
And what would that look like?
TV, Lego, preparing a snack for himself.
And when it comes to homework, I'm assuming you do that with him?
Yes.
Okay. And how do you feel about him watching TV, playing Legos, or making a snack for himself while he's working?
I would say that I feel okay with it, but I monitor that I'm also present for him, you know, that I'm not available.
So during those 1.5 hours, would you feel like you weren't being present to him if you focused on your work while he played?
Maybe there was like, you know, definitely a little bit of, I don't like him to watch an hour and a half for TV, or, you know, he would want me to be with him. He knows I'm home, so he will come into the room and, yeah. And then I guess I feel like, you know, things have to get done, too.
Mm-hmm. And I'm curious if there's any other time in your day where your son is home.
You're breaking up. I don't know why.
I said, can you hear me? Can you hear me okay now?
Okay. Yes. No, I can't hear you okay.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. I'm curious if there's any other time you out half back so that it didn't have to be such a pull away from being present with your son when he's home in the afternoon.
Yeah, but you got slightly cut off. So what I understood maybe was, is there any other time during the day that I could do work? Was that the question?
Correct, where you wouldn't have to feel like you're neglecting your son when he's at home in the afternoon.
No, my work day is really full right now until I pick him up pretty much.
And so what I hear you saying is it's really challenging to be a mom and be a full-time professional.
Yeah.
Do you have...
I don't know why the phone's breaking up, Sasha. I'm going to see if I can switch phones and it'll help. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah, I can't hear you. Maybe another phone will help.
For the other participants on the call that are on mute, if someone can just come off mute and let me know if I'm being heard to you.
I switched phones, so now maybe it'll be better.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes.
Okay. I'm curious if you have any other adults in the household that might be able to bear some of the responsibility with your son.
Not during the day. After dinner time.
Okay. So would that be a time that you could consider making up some of the work time that you are... not while you're with your son in the afternoon?
Unfortunately not, because I have two other kids. So afterwards, there's other activities with them, and two nights a week I teach. And there's that's
okay.
You know, yeah, it's really full. You
know, yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds pretty challenging. I just complained. I'm with you here a little bit. What about some creative... We can, you know, just take some baby steps, like maybe half an hour into his time with you that you could be working, or having him have a play date. I mean, what are some things that sound good to you in terms of being able to get your work accomplished and also being able to be present with your son? What's one baby step that you can take that would be?
Yeah, I was thinking of asking for, you know, maybe my mother-in-law, if she's open to it, to maybe pick him up one day a week for me. So then I have, you know, a couple more hours of time to work. So, you know, asking for some more support or finding, you know, somebody that could maybe pick him up one day a week for me, and working maybe for a little bit of a carpool, which I don't know if there is in the school, but looking around for a bit more support, or get a teenager to come in and do homework with him, or look. I'm thinking that I definitely feel now that I need more support at home because I'm working that many more hours, and just making that true, and you know, knowing that that's part of what I need right now.
That is so great. I just want to acknowledge that that's such a great place to start. And sometimes it's challenging for us to reach out for support when we need it. How could you find out if there are any carpools at the school?
I have asked, and it doesn't seem like there are. So I could resource that again, and I think I'm going to pick up the phone to my mother-in-law and make an arrangement that once a week he goes there. And that'll help me once a week, not having to do that run as early as, you know, 2:30.
Great. And if you could start off a statement saying, I am committed to... And what you just said about contacting your mother-in-law, I think that would be a great place to start for your homework. How does that feel?
Yes, sure.
Just if you would, for me, just state what you're committed to for the next week.
I am committed to seeking support for myself.
And be a little bit more specific, because
okay.
You're right on track.
I am, Okay, so I am committed to calling my mother-in-law and seeing if she's available to support me once a week and make an arrangement with her to pick up Evan.
Great. How does that feel?
It feels a little hesitant. I feel a little mm-hmm. hesitant because I've had refusals from her, but I mean, you know, I will just put it out there, and that's all I could do.
It's very courageous of you, and I totally support you, and it's a great baby step to take, and it sounds like if you need additional support, it sounds like you have some other resources around the school as well. So if it's okay with you, we're going to wrap up here in this last minute. I'd like to check in with you how much progress you've made with this homework. Is that okay?
Yes.
Great. And finally, as we end this session, Brandy, what's been the biggest takeaway for you?
How unsupported I actually feel on my path of developing a business. How unsupported I feel.
And
I'm going to ask for support.
Okay. No, I wasn't meaning to finish your sentence in any way.
Oh.
I just know that you have the tools and the resources, and I'm here to support you in the ways that I can for you to get exactly what you need. So I just think it's a courageous first step, and I look forward to hearing about the outcome when I check in with you this weekend.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much. Everyone else, you can press *6 and come off mute. And who would like to begin to facilitate our feedback discussion?
Last corner in the house right here.
Somebody a little background noise. Frances, how about you?
Hi, I'll start. So I think what came up for me, just being on the other side, because last week I was being coached, I just noticed how hard it is to not come up with solutions, because that's all that was going through my head was how to fix it. But in a sense, it felt like you almost, as a coach, need to know a direction or see a direction in where your client can go in order to ask the right questions too. So that's kind of something I noticed today. But it was neat to see that the minute you asked what baby steps you can take, how many more solutions began to come out. And, you know, a lot of times we just need to break things down into smaller steps for it to seem more doable.
Mm. Yeah. Thanks, Frances. And you spoke to one of the simple coaching tools that we will be getting to starting next week is clarifying the agenda.
Mm.
So, yeah, definitely need to know the direction and need to understand exactly what the client is asking. So if you heard me say back to Brandy, I just want to make sure that I'm clear on what you said to make sure that mm-hmm. you both are on the same page.
Great.
Thank you. Who's next?
This is Jess. I really liked how you provided a lot of empathy for her and just saying, you know, what I hear you saying is, and I hear how challenging this is for you. So you kind of, it seemed like you reflected back to her, not only her context, but also her emotional state. But I like how you followed that up with, you said, I hear how challenging this is for you. What are some baby steps you can take towards, I don't know if it's finding a solution or what it was. And so it was like, I see the challenge. What are some baby steps? And so not just saying, I hear the challenge and almost then there's nothing we can do about it, but still asking her to think about even small ways to start to tackle it.
Yeah, you'll find as we go along that people will come to the coaching relationship sometimes not even knowing what their agenda is or where they want to go, or you know, being all over the place, and then you have to use a tool of brainstorming to get there. But it's really, really important that the coach understand or help clarify through brainstorming and dialogue and conversation what the client is seeking, even if they don't know. There are tools that you can use to elicit a place to start. And typically, a starting point doesn't mean that it's going to be a linear line to get to the solution. Everything is intertwined. And so talking about things factually and then feeling things somatically go hand in hand. We talked last week about the connection to your heart, and if people are just in their head, it's going to be super challenging or even more challenging to make those changes last, to make them more of a lifestyle. So I think it's brilliant how yoga plays right into this dance, because yoga and spiritual nourishment teach us to connect to our bodies, to our breath, to how we're feeling in those difficult moments. So, yeah, thank you, Jess.
Hi, this is like Nicole. I was just going to say, and just to piggyback on what you just said about getting people to their hearts and to their emotional state, then you find out what it is that they need. And I loved how the minute she said, I see that I need some support, it was like, oh, bingo, right? Like, that was the answer that we were kind of looking for through that whole process, is getting her to that place of identifying her needs.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. So Brandy came to the call with, quote, unquote, how to manage my time better. But by the end of 15 minutes, she was realizing, or at least verbalizing to me and to you guys, the group, that she's lacking support. And that's a different energetic feel, isn't it? And I almost heard a little bit of emotion, which is great. It's great because it's really diving in deeper, peeling away some of those layers. So, again, fantastic insight. Olga, what was this like for you?
Besides everything else that was mentioned, the end by you saying, I support you, and, you know, if calling the mother-in-law doesn't work, you know, will you try something else? You were not trying to suggest anything in particular, or, you know, it's all up to her. She's going to find, you know, all the different resources that she has, just with that question, and knowing that she has your support, because, you know, you'll be on the call again, or she can email you, or whatever the case may be. It's just a nice way to, you know, end the call where you're not giving any answers, but you're allowing them to be resourceful.
Exactly, and create a sense of possibility, like what's possible here,
mm-hmm.
rather than what's the issue, what's the problem, rather what's possible. You just shift it around. It comes from a different perspective, different energy, and it's from that place. And when the client comes up with the answers on their own, they're more empowered.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Francis said in the beginning of having that experience on the mat is empowering and taking ownership. It's the same exact thing here, is having your client take ownership of the things that they say are important to them with our full support. Awesome. Thank you.
And finally, Brandy, how was that experience for you?
I guess a little bit emotional. Feeling unsupport, coming to that it's not only a time management, it's just the emotion of feeling unsupported, and then at the same time that it's emotional, it's also a way of self-nurturance will be to take care of getting more support. So,
Yeah. And was this your... Please finish.
Yeah. It definitely evoked an emotion that I was not aware of. And so with that emotion, I'm just allowing myself to feel sad, just a little bit sad. And then the hopefulness will, I guess, arise when I start to seek support and figure that out.
Yeah. Thank you for being vulnerable with us, your first time on this call. And that's why I say that people can come to the call or the session with a specific agenda, and through the coaching interaction and asking powerful questions and supporting your client, they can easily go to different places. It's just peeling away layers, right? And getting to really what's happening so you can clarify that and help move them forward. So really briefly, how many of you have ever been in, let's say, half pigeon, for example, or any hip opener or any kind of back bend, which elicited emotion?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? And it's the movement of energy. That's all we're doing is we're moving energy, creating or trying to diffuse blockages and stuck energy, which will create space, more opening, more possibility, and then more movement forward. So these two, mentor coaching and yoga, are just a perfect mirror to and for each other. And it's, again, why I'm so passionate about this work. All right, in our final... Go ahead. Okay, I guess I'm hearing things. In our final minute here before we go over the homework, any questions that I can help clarify? Or any comments, feelings? Okay. So in terms of next week's reading assignments, please read page, and this is on your syllabus, pages 81 through 86. Also, pages 97 through 100, or beginning to tap into the simple coaching model. And we will refer to 97 through 100 throughout the remainder of these 10 weeks now. And also, to share a copy of your SMART goals with your class buddy, so you may hold each other accountable. And let's see, I have it right here. I would just like so Francis is with Nicole, and I would like for Brandy to join Jess and Olga. So we'll have a group of two and a group of three. And Brandy, I believe now that I sent out the last bio, that you should have does everyone have everyone's email address now? And you can be in touch with each other in terms.
Is that on the bio?
I sent you a few. It should be on the bio.
Okay.
but Jess and Olga and Brandy are a group, and Nicole and Francis are a dyad, dyad and a triad. And there's a possibility that someone else may be joining. So I'm going to wait and send out the coach by Friday. Okay, I don't want to have to keep changing it. And just know that I'm available in between calls. If you have any questions, reach out to me. Thank you for sending the bios. You all are beautiful and amazing. And it's nice to put a face with a name. So have an awesome week. I know next week, oh yeah, we're all here next week, and then the week after we have a few people missing. So I will look for you guys on the 21st.
I just have one question. So
sure.
For coach to coach, when we have to do the SMART goal class study, the three of us will make a time that works for us to get on a call?
Right. Or, you know, one person can share with one. One can share with the one. You can do it in a triad, or you can one person share with both. Whatever works for the three of you. You can come onto the call as a three person, or you know, you can share with who is this? Jess. Jess can share with Olga. Olga can share with Brandy. Brandy can share with Jess. You know, however you want to design it.
Okay.
I just want you guys to be held accountable with your SMART goals. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, great. All right, shoot me any other questions if you should have them, and you guys have a really great week. Thank you for a powerful call.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Sasha.
Okay, thanks, guys. Namaste.
Bye.
Namaste. Thank you.